And Acts chapter number 12, let's stay and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning, found over in the book of Acts. I know I'm supposed to deal with these passages, then I know my wife's supposed to sing. I want Miss Sherry to play for her in a minute. And I just think it's a very timely chapter. Evidently, the Lord's got it raised up in my heart. Acts chapter number 12. Now, about that time, Herod, capital. I sure am glad that this isn't caps, though, the little king. And look what he done. He stretched forth his hands, plural, to vex. You know what that means? To push down. To destroy. To vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. I don't know I'd want to have been Peter, but I sure am glad I wasn't James. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing, not down at the courthouse. Not down at the schoolhouse. And I think all them places is important to pray. Won't you notice what they said? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And ain't you glad God can change Herod's plan? How many times would Herod have got you? But God intervened on your behalf. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. He ain't even took nothing for insomnia. He is between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell off from his hands. Boy, I'd love to have seen him in church service Sunday morning. And the angel said to him, "You mean they can talk?" Bible said they can. "Gird thyself. Bind on thy sandals, because you ain't stand here no more." And so he did. Boy, King James Bible's real hard to understand, ain't it? And so he did. You can be seated. People say, "Well, you know, the King James Bible's too hard to understand." No, it's just hard to live by. And he saith to him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." It does matter who you follow. A lot of people following the wrong thing today. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now let's read that again. Here's Peter. He's locked up in prison. He's not locked up for doing wrong. He's in a bad place, a difficult place, a dark place for doing right. He went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He said, I may be dreaming here. Wonder if you ever had anything just so good that it was just too good to be true. Well, let me give you a little something to dream about this morning. God saved you. That's just really too good to be true. You just think about what He's done for you this week. And really, it's just too good to be true. Thought he saw a vision. Tell you what you do when you pull in your driveway today, and I don't care how bad it is. You pinch yourself and say, it ain't a dream. God has blessed me that much. And when they were past the first and the second ward, he's a getting out now. And he ain't sleepwalking. I used to do some of that. They came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. And it opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Left him all by himself. But he wasn't all by himself. And when Peter was, watch this, verse 11. When Peter was come to himself. I mean, now he's asleep. Herod's going to have him in the morning. And he laid down and went to bed. Wonder what kind of prayer he prayed. Wonder how hard of a place he is sleeping on. But he went to sleep and there was an angel came on him in verse 7 and a light shined in and smote him on the side and raised him up, said, rise up quickly. And when he come to himself, can you imagine that kind of night? Can you imagine laying down with that kind of problem? Then all of a sudden, God comes in amongst your problem. And look what He does. When He come to Himself, He went out and followed Him, and not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought He saw a vision. He went by the first, the second ward. They came to the iron gate. It opened to them. The angel departed. He has come to Himself. He said, now I know of a surety. Now you never would know till you've been made to know. I can take you to some places that where I know that God done something for me. That I never have to doubt about. I know where I was at when He saved me. I know of a surety that the Lord done. I know of a place, Brother Tim, I know right where I was when I surrendered the call to preach the gospel. I know right where I was at when I done it. I know where I was at when God showed me where this church is go. I was turning out the end of a road right down here. The next road to the right goes in a subdivision. Brother Rodney, you done work. I pulled out there. We've been looking for everywhere. And I turned to look for the traffic. Brother Wendell, God said that church is going right up yonder. And I looked at the church across the road and I said, God, you going to give us that building? And I turned and went home. And it was just a few hours that Renee's daddy said,
Have you thought about that property over there by the Legion Hall? I said, no, I wouldn't even think about building a church by a Legion Hall. But you know, God can strike a Legion Hall. Because last I remember, it was a barbed wire fence run through yonder. Lightning struck that sin den and burned it to the ground. And then God let this church buy that property. I know of a surety that God's done some things for me. I remember I was sitting over there in that wall one day at that chair by Brother Rodney. Brother Dean McNeese was a preaching, and God showed me that wall opened up. And it took my breath. It was some, I guess, 6, 7 years ago when he showed it to me. But he did show it to me, and I know of a surety God done. Do you know of a surety that God's done anything for you? God does a lot of things in a lot of bad places a lot of times just to show us who He is. Now, I'm getting down to where I'm going. And He does a lot of little things just to let us know that He's God and He cares. Some of y'all thinking I've took too many aspirin, but me and Miss Renee was going to Tennessee the other day, and I was wearing one of them Columbia shirts, got the two pockets on it, and got snap buttons before we left. You know how a woman is, Brother Gerald, they'll sort of analyze you. She said, you need to button up your pocket. I said, well, the button's broke. She said, well, let me see it. And so she started working on it, and it just wouldn't work. Just couldn't make it work. Well, after that, Brother Randy, you know, I said, well, she can't. I know I can. So I tried and tried, and I said, well, let's just go on our trip. I'm done dressed. It'll work out. And I was going down the road. And you know what Miss Renee said? She said, how'd you fix your button? I said, I didn't fix my button. What you talking about? And that button was fastened and fixed. Now, you say, why would you say that? Because when that happened, God spoke to me and her and said, I can even do the littlest things to the biggest thing. Now listen to me, I didn't pull off the side of the road when she wasn't looking and put a new button on that shirt. Just as sure as I'm standing here with the King James Bible, God fastened that button on my shirt. And I looked and I said, honey, that's amazing. Look here, it's fixed. Now it was broke. Do you know what broke is? I'm telling you, it's broke. And looked down, she said, well, honey, how'd you fix your pocket? God ever done anything for you that you know that He done? Peter's in a bad place, God coming on him, and he woke up and he said, I know of a surety that God has done something here. He said, the Lord hath sent His angel, and look what He said, He hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Boy, it's something when the devil's wanting you to fall, but when others is wanting you to fall. And when he had considered the thing, look what he does. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, watch this, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, the gate of damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren, or Mark, and he departed and went into another place. Now, that's what I want to say this morning. I'm glad I've got a church. The Bible said in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. I'm glad I'm a member of the church. Now, can I tell you that the church is not a Baptist church or Methodist church, and we are Baptists here by conviction and doctrine, but we're talking about the universal church, the one that Jesus died for. The one where He said you must be born again. And when you're born again, He places you in the body of the church, which He calls His body, which is the church. The blood washed, called out ones. His children. I'm glad I'm one of these young'uns. And can I tell you something? I never seen a time that my daddy wouldn't do something for me if I had a need. But you know what? A lot of times I had to ask Him before I got what I needed, so I'd be sure that I knowed where it come from. How does people make it without a church? I like what Brother Randy said this morning. You know, many times people have so many needs. I wonder really, if we took a survey here this morning, how many needs we'd have in this assembly. But I can tell you your first and foremost need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's your biggest need in your life if you're lost, is that you would be saved by the grace of God. That's your biggest need. We've lost that vision as a church of sinners dying and going to hell. You know what bothers me? People that used to would raise their hand and acknowledge they were lost and needed prayer, they won't do that anymore. Their hearts have become hardened. And it scares me to death that you can walk out of the service doors of this church and not aware that you're a sinner. I read last night one of the greatest preachers in America said this. He said, it's not if the people brag on our sermons, but it's when people leave, they say, I must do something. And can I tell you today, I sure am glad I'm a child of God, and I sure am glad I've been put in His church. We're the local church. The local church is very important. Many local churches have compromised and moved by the wayside and just went by the flow of the world. Society now runs the local churches as a norm. I've never seen a time when churches has got so worldly and the world has got so churchy. Let me tell you, church, you don't have a church by sweeping sin under the rug. You have a church because it's a place that is separated from this world, a place where God is high and lifted and sinners can be saved by the grace of God. We all have needs. If you're a sinner, the biggest need in your life is to be saved. I don't care how old you are. If you've never been born again by the grace of God, you need to be saved today. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. The Baptist church can't save you. That baptismal pool can't wash away your sins. But honey, what the blood of Jesus done on Calvary's cross can wash you clean and erase all of your sin debt before a holy God this morning. I'm glad I was placed in the church. Minding my own business, and God come by and knocked on my heart and offered unto me a gift of eternal life. And when I got saved, Brother Brandon, He put me in the local church. I'm glad I'm in the local church. I'm glad I'm in the local church. Now, I want you to notice something about the local church. It's made up of people. The Bible said Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm glad not only am I in a local church, I'm glad I'm in a church where there's some people that can pray. Now, number one, you're not going to pray with sin in your life. Maybe you have committed a sin against God. But I sure am glad I found 1 John chapter number 2. If we confess our sins, plural, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad God's in the forgiving business. And you know, I've noticed this, once you ask God for forgiveness, the devil loves to remind you of it. So what you've got to do is purpose and take God at His word. He said if I'd confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, I was preaching out of the book of Nehemiah this morning. You remember the other week when I preached, He said, and your strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Boy, there's strength when you're right with God and the joy of the Lord. I realize we're not running and shouting today, but I can tell you this, I'm glad I'm a part of the local church, and I'm glad I've got people here that can pray with me. Now, this week, I don't believe this families that I'm going to mention here will mind me saying this, but you know, thank God for technology. They gave me a text, and they had a dire situation. We began to pray. We sent out communications across the church, and people began to pray. Now, let me ask you something. If you believe the Word of God, look what happened. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Can I tell you, prayer still changes things? Can I tell you all that we all need one another? I mean, we need one another in such a way. Brother Randy's talking about, you know, we need to live our life because people are full of needs and how true that is. Matter of fact, I talked with him yesterday and he told me one little statement that just changed my whole day. I mean, I was so focused on something, but he gave me something else to think upon. And as I began to focus upon that thought, boy, how God helped me. Can I tell you that we need each other? Did you know when we confess our faults to God, that Jesus even tells us that He said in James chapter 5 verse 16, this is why we need to be in a church. This is why we need each other. Confess your faults one to another. Now, He didn't say climb up on the pulpit and tell everybody. But He said confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Have you ever lost your temper? You ever done something you wished you hadn't done? Well, sometimes it does you good to get a hold of a brother and sister and say, you know, I've done this and I've asked God to forgive me for it. And then, Brother Tim, when you come back and reply and say, well, you know, He said that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when you remind me of that and I confess my faults to you, it does something for me when you respond back to me. Can I tell you, we need a church not only that can pray, we need a church that is real, that can communicate to people and be there for one another. Amen. We've got children out of this church that is on the battlefield. Our church needs to be praying for these children. Let me tell you something, young people, you're in a good, local, sound doctrine, Bible-preaching church. And you know what you need to do? You need to get some glue in your britches and keep your hide in the house of God. Because it's coming a time, as this little girl was a-singing, the winds is going to get up. And what you going to do without the people of God? When I get on that jet Monday morning, I want somebody praying for me. When I land, I want somebody praying. When I'm preaching at night, Brother Vince, Brother Jerry, I want somebody praying for me. Thank God I'm in a church that can pray and God can hear their prayers. God don't hang around a church that's filled with sin and goes against His book. You know what I found out? The devil will let you read the book. He'll let you pray. He'll let you go to church. But if you get around where people's real and where people's praying, he hates that kind of stuff. Boy, the devil hates for you to pray. Matter of fact, I wonder if I took an analysis of how much entertainment or TV we've had this week and how much time we've knelt in prayer, I wonder how much it would stack up. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Can I tell you, we the church were special to God. And I'm glad that I'm in a church and I can ask the brethren or the sisters to pray for me. And they won't talk about me. You know, there's stuff about people talking about each other. Let me tell you something. If we'll turn our finger back to us and look, we got more here than we'll ever figure out. We got more here than we'll ever iron out. We ought to be Christians. And I'm so tired of people saying that everybody's a talking about. They're the one running their mouth. We ain't a saying nothing. But I can tell you this. Here, we don't sweep sin under the rug and act like it didn't happen, because we got to be able to get in touch with yonder and glory land world. We're not running a movie theater. We're not running a schoolhouse. We're not running nothing but a church house. That's the called out ones that have a God that will forgive us of our sins and that we can pray one for another. Sure, I'm glad I'm in a church that can pray and get in touch with heaven. You know what the devil's told us? Prayer don't work no more. Prayer's so old-fashioned. We'll just do it upon our own. Well, let me tell you something. There are some things money can't buy. Me and my wife walked into a rest home facility this week. No doubt there's a lot of them folks there had plenty of money, but they didn't buy health. You know, isn't it amazing how Hollywood's always promoting with Simon on that show? What's that show where Simon's at? American Idol. Everybody wants to be somebody. You want to be somebody in God's eyes. Born again by the grace of God, helping needy people. Now, I wonder how many people here have needs in their lives. I mean, I really do. I'm talking about needs in their life. Aren't you glad that you're in touch with a church that can pray for you and help you in your life? Lord, raise us up, prayer warriors. We got enough ball players. We've got enough entertainers. God, raise us up some people that can get in touch with you. They had a church, could pray. This week, this family had the needs of the prayers of the church. Young families, I'd love to tell you trouble won't come to your house, but I can't tell you that. If I was to tell you that, I'd be straight lying to you. I walked into Renee's daddy this week and I just broke down and cried. I said, boy, this old life is brutal. There's one of my friends with these young uns, don't know what in the world's going on. Just like what he said to me, he said, Pastor, I feel like a tractor trailer's on my chest. I know how that feels. I know how it feels when your baby gets out of the car and says things that just tears your world apart. I know what it is when friends walk out of your life that you thought would never walk out of your life. But you know what? I've got a God. And I've got a God that ain't nothing too hard for Him to fix. And I'm going to tell you what. Brother Randy's talking about earlier about Brother David and his young life. I'm glad I've got some people that can encourage me and help me. We're always giving, giving, giving. But sometimes there's people that need something. And this is what I've noticed. Some of the most needy people in this congregation never say nothing. It's a lot of difference in whining and needing. One of the best friends in my life sitting here. He's an older gentleman. They've been so good to me and Miss Renee and this church. They've done things you don't know nothing about it. And he's probably sitting in one of the worst environments of any person in this place. And you'll never hear him grumble. I've never heard him grumble. But he has needs. You know what he has needs of? This church that can get a hold and pray to God. There's a family sitting right here, got a boy headed over yonder. There's a family right here, got a boy headed over yonder. There's another lady comes here. We've got three boys headed to foreign country on the battlefield. They need the prayers of our church. You look around these babies sitting on these pews, granddaddies, grandmamas. They need a praying church in their life. Because you know what? People will disappoint you. Jobs will disappoint you. Money will disappoint you. When it gets down to the end of the day, we need God and each other. We've not built this church for a show. I know it's one of the prettiest places in town, but you know it's a lot of pretty buildings. You know what makes Liberty Baptist Church pretty? The people that make it up, that's real, and that will pray for you when you need somebody to pray. Now, you just let anything go on, and I'll go on and say it, and I'm not ashamed of it. You let a woman get up there and put her gown on where the Bible says that she must be the husband of one wife. I'm not confused, folks. I'm not confused. A woman can't pastor a church biblically. And I don't care who you are, if you sin, it ain't no... Did you know something, that Jesus died for the sinner? He loves sinners, but can I tell you, it's not one place in my Bible where He loved any sin. Show me a place in that Bible where He loved any sin. He don't like sin. And you've got to keep a church tuned up and preached up, or you'll just have you a Taj Mahal and a little entertainment place. We all stand even at that cross. This book cuts me. It cuts my children. I mean, it's bad, Brother Troy, when I get under conviction under my own preaching. But I tell you what I try to do. I try to deal with it and do something about it and not keep walking around gloating about it. We need a church. And we need people that will pray. Brother Donald Hubbard, that generation. Brother Randy talked about a generation this morning. They come up in a time and a generation where they had to pray to get their seed to come up out of the ground. They had to pray that God had put food on their table. Let me tell you, none of that's changed. God's still putting food on your table. God's still seeing about your babies. God's still putting clothes on your back. Ain't nothing changed. The world's changed, but God ain't changed. We need a church that we can be together and exalt our Savior and pray for one another. And I'm glad I've got some brothers that I can go to in this place and talk to and share my innermost secrets, and they can pray for me and try to encourage me. Devil run me crazy as a heel hound last week after service. Run me crazy. I'll be so glad not get to heaven. No more devil. My God, it'll be a blessing when it's no more devil. I mean, I couldn't even go to sleep Sunday night after the whole good day we had last Sunday. 95 devils jumped on my cover. But it lets me know He ain't got me yet. I'm so glad you're here. But I ain't a compromising to keep you here. And you need a place to raise your babies where they can get saved by the power of God. You need to raise them up in the house of God where the Bible's being preached and where people are real. We've all got needs, and we need each other in our needs. It ain't no big as. How many churches have you been to that the preacher couldn't do what he needed to do because two or three families had him all hoodwinked and running him? My God, I'm glad I ain't got to report to a group of men and say my preaching was all right this Sunday if I get to come back next Sunday or not. You young people, you just don't realize the importance of your faithfulness to the house of God and how you need a church in your life. Now I get here. Renee, you come. Miss Sherry's going to come. There's needs around that. I want to ask you something. I know our church ain't perfect, but it is a church, and we're trying to do right. And I know we're not going to make everybody happy. Some of you done said, well, I won't come back. Well, that's okay. I wish you liked preaching. But that's your decision. I can't hog tie you. If I did, I'd tie the wrong hog anyhow.
But we need each other. Your baby's going down here in this schoolhouse. They're facing 90,000 devils next week. You own your jobs. You're facing more demons than this country's ever seen. Brother Monroe Wiggins, one of my heroes in the faith. Brother Monroe had the power of God on his life. And he preached in a generation where mainly all they know to preach about was alcohol and cigarettes. But honey, let me tell you, that generation has died off. And now it's such a demonic influence has hit our country because we've let the gates down. And we've said, come on in. Everybody come. And now we're looking at demons and we're seeing demonic activity like we've never had demonic activity in all of our days. And this thing of pastoring churches and keeping churches together, honey, let me tell you something. God's all for it. But the reason churches die, because people make them die. Some of you've got big needs. My phone this week has had more calls of needs. I'm talking about genuine needs. Let me tell you, the prayer of the church still works. Prayer is what's going to keep these doors open. Prayer is what's going to keep your family together. Prayer is what's going to keep your home together. Mom and Daddy, I challenge you, kneel at the foot of your bed. If you'll pray together, you'll stay together. Peter was a member of a praying church. When he walked in on Sunday, I wonder what he'd done. Think about Brother Donald a lot. He's in and on 80 now. Been saved a long time. Seen things unimaginable. Let me tell you something. This generation I'm preaching to, we're going to see things that are unimaginable. Let me tell you what. God's still able. And He's still available. He said, how come you know He's available? Because I feel Him in my heart. You got anything, any need in your life that you need God to help you on? Well, I'd quit carrying it around. I'd cast all my cares on Him because He says He cares for you. Boy, how easier it would be if we'd just bring it to the Lord. How we'd cast things to Him and say, God, would You handle this? And boy, wouldn't it be such a blessing if you could get hooked into a real Bible-believing, real Bible preaching, real Bible praying church, how it changed things in your life. If you've got something and you need God to move on in your life, why don't you bring it to Him? Boy, the Bible says that the prayer was made in the church without ceasing. They just wouldn't give a... Could you imagine them calling out their name? I'm glad I'm in a church that can get a hold of God. Oh, I'm so glad I can come to a church that can get a hold of God. Church, if it's ever been a time we need to be praying toward Heaven, asking God to help us with our needs.